Good evening. It's nice to see you all here tonight. There's a good group assembled. I suppose in the future, if I'd like to have a good group assembled to hear me preach, we should tell people that Brother Adams is going to be doing the preaching. With all seriousness, our hearts and minds are certainly with the Adams tonight. I think the world of them, and I was looking forward very much to getting to listen to Brother Adams preach tonight. Some of you were as well. I know some of you have driven from great distances. I know the Almonds are here from North Ridgeville. Sister Adams has some connections to the north of here, and others of you as well. But in spite of that, I'd ask that you give consideration to the things that I've prepared to say to you this evening in the hopes that we can better understand the Lord's will in our lives so that we can share in the hope of heaven. You know, sin does a lot of things to us. In a very fundamental level, sin causes brokenness. It breaks us, and it can shatter our lives to pieces. Most significantly, what sin does in breaking us is it breaks our relationship with our Maker. The Lord, He created us with purpose, with design, with intents, with hopes for us. And it tears Him apart to see us, His creation, the ones that He has great love and affection for, sin, and turn our backs on Him, sever this relationship. And in seeing humanity do that, He recognized the need for a Savior, and He sends Christ. And Christ came in part to heal those who were broken. On an occasion, as Jesus began His ministry, He went to a synagogue in Capernaum, and He read from the prophet Isaiah. And in one of the descriptions of the Messiah that He read, said how the Messiah was to come to heal the brokenhearted. And after He read that passage, He sat down and declared that that day the Scripture had been fulfilled at their hearing. He was the fulfillment of all of that. And thank God that God loved us enough to send us Christ to heal us, to complete us. Do you recognize how precious it is that we can be made full, that we can be completed, that we can be healed, that the break, the fracture can be repaired? It's an incredible thought that the Apostle Paul relied on in writing a letter to the church at Colossae. If you'd open your Bibles to his letter that there in Colossians chapter 1. One of the themes of this writing is fullness in Christ, this great message of completeness, that Christ is able to do the work of repair. He's able to repair our relationship with the Lord and our relationship with one another, and He can do so masterfully. Notice how Paul emphasizes the sufficiency, the power and ability of Christ to fix us. Beginning in verse 9, after stating how they had faith and love and hope because of Christ, he says in verse 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of Him, of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord and do all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Do you catch the language there? He wants to strengthen us, not just a little bit, but He wants us to be as strong as we possibly can become in Him. He doesn't want us to have just some of His blessings. He wants us to have all of His blessings. He doesn't want us just to sort of have an understanding about Him. He wants us to have all understanding about Him. And we can. Yes, Christ is able to complete us. And it is that faith and conviction in His power to complete us that gave Paul motivation to preach Christ to the world. Later in the first chapter, he writes about how he went to the Gentiles to preach the gospel of Christ. And the Gentiles were godless, immoral idolaters, sinners to be sure. And there is a period in Paul's life where he wouldn't have anything at all to do with the Gentiles. Little did he know that the Lord had plans for him. that his ministry would be directed toward the people that he disdained most in his life. But he says, beginning in verse 25, "Whereof I made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man," watch this, "perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto also I labor, striving according to the working which worketh in me mightily." Paul recognized that Christ could make even the Gentiles perfect. And as he stated there, as he watched the Gentiles obey the gospel as had taken place in Colossae, to see them share in the hope of glory, it was amazing to him. And so he became all the more determined to labor among them, because he knew that Christ could perfect them. He could complete them. He could transform them. In the second chapter, the idea of completeness and fullness continues as Paul emphasizes that all knowledge and truth and wisdom is all hidden. It is all treasured and protected in Christ. Christ is the very source of knowledge. If we could get our minds on that truth, the trajectory of our lives would be very different. That Christ is the source of knowledge. He is the source of what is true. We have a desire for knowledge in our world, a desire for what is true. How differently would our world be if people in the pursuit, in their quest for truth, if it would begin with Christ? He says in verse 8, he warns them, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after